we can't not talk about Duncan Scott. So this summer so far has been a little bit of a disappointment from him in the fact that he wasn't competing at Worlds, and he would have seen a lot of very fast times at Worlds in events that he loves to swim. So he goes into this meet, I would say, slightly angry, and I would expect some pretty fast swims.
Well, all I'm hoping is that there's no long-lasting effect from COVID. But I liked your idea of him being angry. Yeah, could you imagine being sat on the sidelines and those sort of times thrown out by teenagers?
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me again is my good friend, Dan. And this week's show is a special one, because for the whole of this week, we are going to be previewing the home nations ahead of the Commonwealth Games. Yep, we're going to be doing a preview podcast of Scotland, Wales, and England. And on this show, we're kicking things off with Scotland.
Yeah, as busy this week's going to be, it's going to be very exciting for us. We're very much looking forward to the build-up to Commonwealth Games. As Scott said, we're actually going to speak to a swimmer from each of the home nations as well, which is quite exciting. And like Scott said, we're going to start with Scotland. I'm quite excited.
We definitely are. As everyone should know by now, the Commonwealth Games are the big meat of the summer. Oh, yeah. They are the one certainly we as a channel have been targeting for a very long time. So on this week's show, we're going to give you the Scotland squad. We're going to be previewing the standout swimmers, the names you need to keep an eye on, the medal prospects, because yes, even though Scotland's a small swimming nation in relative size, there are plenty of medal prospects. And like Dan said, we've got a very special guest joining us at the end to preview her own competition. Little teaser clue there.
Little bit of a, giving a half the swimmers are now out.
Well, to be fair, if people have read the title of this podcast, they might have guessed already.
That makes sense. But there's quite a few swimmers to actually pick out here. So I think what you should do, Scott, is go through the names that are on the Scotland team. I think we'll start with that.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'll just take you through the list then, Dan. I'll literally give you the swimmers who are swimming for Team Scotland. So we start with Craig Benson, Tane Bruce, Oliver Carter, Stephen Clegg, Evie Davis, Samuel Downey, Scott Gibson, Archie Goodburn, Cara Hanlon, Lucy Hope, Evan Jones, Abby Kane, Kiana McInnes, Honey McGill, Craig McNally, Stephen Milne, Ross Murdoch, Emma Russell, Duncan Scott, Katie Shanahan, Tony Shaw, Mark Schranick, Martin Walton, and Cassie Wild, as well as late additions Gregor Swinney and Tom Beely. So for anyone who is really a fan of British swimming, and hopefully pretty much all of the listeners of this podcast should be, all of those names really should be well known. Most people will know most of them.
They should be from GB's point of view or British point of view. Absolutely. You see them all the time at British trials or at like nationals, for example. A lot of these swimmers are representing Stirling or the University of Stirling, also Edinburgh as well, with a few sort of Glasgow snippets and Millfield as well. So actually, I think this is a very strong team and they will all know each other very, very well. So I think the team morale is going to be super high for this meet, I think.
Definitely. I think that's certainly one we can chat with our guests later a bit more about team atmosphere. Okay, standout names on this squad then. We can't not talk about Duncan Scott. So this summer so far has been a little bit of a disappointment from him in the fact that he wasn't competing at Worlds, and he would have seen a lot of very fast times at Worlds in events that he loves to swim. So the 400 IM, Leon Marchand, set a ridiculous time.
Crazy
David Popovic set a ridiculous time in the 200 meters freestyle. All the time, Duncan was sat on the sofa at home suffering the effects of COVID. If anyone's have COVID, it's not fun. So he goes into this meet, I would say, slightly angry, and I would expect some pretty fast swims.
Well, all I'm hoping is that there's no long-lasting effect from COVID, because I know you've had COVID and you sort of have suffered still a little bit, actually, from like your breathing with your lungs and stuff. So hopefully there's nothing like that affecting him and he has been able to do full intensity, normal training as he's used to doing, I suppose, in the lead up to Tokyo, for example. But I liked your idea of him being angry. Yeah, could you imagine being sat on the sidelines and those sort of times thrown out by
as a British swimming fan, I'm fuming. I'm like, what would Duncan have done if he was on that guy's hip? But it's all what ifs. Now is the chance for Duncan to get in the water and race. And in the 4am, he's got good competition from the likes of Brandon Smith. Lewis Clairbutt's going to be there as well. So it's not a slow field. And then the 200 freestyle, well, we'll preview that later on.
That's next week. That's a monster race.
It's ridiculous.
Well, he's an out-and-out racer, Duncan, isn't he? And I'm pretty sure if he were in that race, let's take that 400 IM, for example, even though 404 was a little bit maybe out of Duncan's reach, I think that would have brought on a massive British record for him.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even like a, let's say a 4.7, something like that, 2 seconds, just because of the standard of the field. Carson Foster came second with a 4.06.
Yep,
I think Duncan I think he would have challenged if he was in a race in the 203. Yes, we'll preview that later, because that is an outstanding race from every home nation, including him, Tom, Matt Richards, and you've got the Aussies as well.
just an
amazing race.
Yeah,
there's lots.
Yeah, everyone should know Duncan is the main, he's the talisman of this team. He is the main medal threat as well. So he's likely to any race he's in, essentially. Maybe the relays aren't quite going to be strong enough to compete, but no, to be fair, the medley relay could get up there. But any race Duncan Scott races at Commonwealth Games, expect a medal if you're Team Scotland. I think that's the way you need to go looking at.
Yeah, I mean, he's the figurehead for the whole squad, isn't he? So I imagine the younger swimmers in the squad will be looking up to him. And he always delivers, doesn't he? Delivers. So, yes, he will do well, I think, as long as COVID hasn't got a long-lasting effect on him. But fingers crossed. So
other names to look out for. I'm going to go with three women who I think might stand out and might also medal. So Cassie Wild, Olympian at Tokyo. Kiana McInnes, 200 fly swimmer who is just making leaps and bounds, and Cara Hanlon, the new Scottish record holder in the 100 breaststroke. The three of them, I think, have fantastic chances to get on the podium.
I agree with you. Let's start with Cassie. You said Cassie first. Yeah. I get still a little bit frustrated with her because I know the talent and potential that she has, especially on the 200 meter backstroke. That's, for me, her main race. And if she puts it all together, her race plan is right, she's in the right mindset, I think she challenges the podium quite strongly as well, actually. That's how good I rate Cassie Wild. It's just whether she puts it all together. Like I said, she has this thing where she does this one really good performance, and then it was almost like that was an anomaly, whereas we need a bit of consistency from her. That's what I'd like to see. And if she does find that consistency, then we're looking, well, Scotland looking quite good for a medal hope there, I think.
Yeah. And for me, Kiana McInnes in the 200 metres fly, she's making leaps and bounds all the time, building confidence. And I actually think it's a slightly open event when it comes to commies.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think she's got a fantastic chance of actually doing something there. Like you say, she's building confidence all of the time. We had her on a podcast, I think it was last year, wasn't it?
It was in ISL.
And she was, yeah, she was very nervous to come on, but actually once she started speaking, she actually grew in confidence. And I think that's what will pay dividends in her swimming and her training as well. And this might be her breakout sort of meet, hopefully. That'll be quite good.
Yeah. And then the final woman I suggested, Cara Hanlon. So yes, we've had her on the podcast. Would you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? That's the most popular podcast episode we've had this year. She's had an incredible backstory within swimming. Go listen to it if you haven't. But the 100 metres breaststroke, she was British champion. And she didn't get picked for the world champs because of the qualification time. Essentially, they just stuck with Molly Renshaw, which is rightly so. She was pre-selected. She had every right to go on the team. I think Cara Hanlon was unlucky not to go for maybe even the experience. But, I mean, it's an international meet. You don't tend to go for experience. But this one now is her major meet this summer. And she's only got to taper once for it, which might go into her favour when she's racing the likes of Molly, Sarah Vasey, swimmers like that, Imogen Clark.
Well, I thought Molly actually had quite a strong world champs, actually, to be honest with you. We were umming and ahhing about whether how good she was going to be, how she would perform, but actually when she went near enough her PB in 100 metre breaststroke, which is a low 66. Cara's gone, if I remember, a 67. So I actually do think Cara will go a 66. I think she PBs and lowers that Scottish record, and if she does, then she's on the podium for me. I think that's a, not guaranteed, but I think that's a really strong medal chance in that women's 100 breaststroke for Scotland. She's got a big future ahead of her, honestly, I think. She's not one of these younger swimmers in the teenage sort of age, but she's kind of matured and she's getting better with every year that she's doing it at the moment. Again, it might be a confidence thing. That's probably what it comes down to.
Definitely. Where else should we go then? I've got two experienced heads for you who deserve a good summer. So Lucy Hope and Ross Murdoch. So Ross Murdoch, it's his last meet this summer. I know for a fact before British Champs, where he actually turned out a very impressive 100 breaststroke, he wasn't really in the pool that much. I believe he only got in like 2 or 3 weeks before British Champs and churned out an incredible 100 breaststroke. He's not going to challenge for gold, but between him and James Wilby, there are medals behind, and he is a very experienced operator.
Yeah, when you said the two experienced heads, I was thinking of Ross Murdoch and also Craig McNally. I think that's a name we should also mention as well. I think, if I'm right in saying, especially for Ross anyway, this is his last meet.
Yep.
I think he's retiring after the Commonwealth Games, so hopefully he goes out on a big hurrah, you know. It'd be amazing if he does medal. Like you said, the gold is a little bit out of reach because, you know, the world record holder is in the pool, or will be, or should be in the pool. I actually think James Wilby will get second. I think he looks really good at World Champs.
Yeah,
he looks really good. So I think that he gets silver, and then I think the bronze maybe is up for grabs. I think he will do it.
What you're doing here is you are teasing our preview, like full race preview podcast, which is coming next week. Let's hold off for all of these predictions until next week.
I know. Yeah. But let's go back to Ross Murdoch. I think because he's the experienced head, a lot of these younger swimmers, or all of the swimmers actually, will look up to him. Mm. He's a supremely talented swimmer.
Good personality around the team as well.
He's a fantastic talent, and hopefully he does really well at this Commonwealth Games as his last hurrah.
And Lucy Hope has been a very solid relay swimmer for the girls' side for British swimming. She went to the Olympics this summer. She swam at the Worlds in the 100 relay, the 200 relay. I think she is really going to struggle to get on the podium because the Aussies are going to bring three girls for the 100 free and the 200 free. And I actually think they clean sweep the podium all over the place on that one.
Nevertheless,
Lucy Hope is a strong Scottish swimmer and certainly one to keep an eye on. Potentially a big relay leader as well.
Yeah, well, I kind of actually am looking forward to her racing as an individual rather than just being part of the relay, because as part of Team GB, you only really see her in the relays, don't you? Now she's got the opportunity to do the 100, 200 individual. Yeah. And as part of this relay as well, it's not a bad relay that Scotland have.
The medley relay.
Well, and the freestyle, actually. You've got Emma Russell and Evelyn Davis, who are strong freestylers. But again, you're talking about the Aussies that are just head and shoulders. They are miles ahead. But I tell you what, I mean, obviously England have a strong team. Maybe they sneak bronze, because it's a strong relay team they have in the freestyle. But yes, the medley with Duncan, of course, will certainly help in the mixed side of it. But I think there's good things to come from Lucy Hope. She's almost been sort of...
It's a forgotten name of
a little bit, yeah. Almost like the backup sort of summer. She's like the relay summer, just in case someone's ill or something like that, or, you know. And I'm kind of glad that Commonwealth Games has come around now so that she can actually make a name for herself, or try to anyway. It's a difficult era to be a part of on freestyle, sprint freestyle, especially with us Aussies. But good luck to her. I think she'll do well.
Yeah, and I actually really like the hopes of that women's medley relay. I know a lot of eyes will be on the guy's side because you've got Duncan Scott, but in the women's side, you've got Cassie on the backstroke, you've got Cara on the breaststroke, you've got Kienna on the fly, and you've got Lucy Hope on the freestyle. That's a solid team.
It is solid, isn't it? I actually kind of like that team. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to do any predictions because that's next week's podcast, but they've got a little sneaky sort of chance there, don't they? I like it. It's solid.
And then elsewhere on Team Scotland, I think the young stars that are coming through. So you mentioned Evie Davis, a very good freestyle sprinter. And I'm going to mention Evan Jones from Millfield, who makes his first international team. He was very impressive at British Champs, winning those junior titles, I believe, in the 200 metres IM, if I am correct. And I always find that a 200 IM is a hallmark of a well-developed swimmer, especially at a young age.
Well, we were talking about it before we went live, and actually you said that he has a potential saucer level to be a next Duncan sort of Scott.
He does those sort of events, is what I was saying.
I mean, that's a big shoes to fill. I mean, if he can replicate what Duncan's been doing, then hey, we're in for a good number of years.
You're taking words out of context.
But no, yeah, I think you're right. Evan Jones had a very good trials, didn't he? 200 IM and other races, of course. Yes, just good experience for him. First international meet, and hopefully this will be the springboard for future, because you never know. Worlds is happening every year now for the next, how many years? Well, 3-4 years?
Exactly.
So there you go. Chances are plenty, I reckon.
That is one great thing about Commonwealth Games. It does provide a springboard for a lot of these youngsters coming through. So we've spoken a lot on this podcast so far about the talents of the able-bodied squad that is taking part and representing Scotland. But as everyone should know, during this summer's Commonwealth Games, the para events are intertwined into the programme. There isn't a separate competition. And with that in mind, there are a few very strong para swimmers representing Scotland that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, I think it's headed up by Stephen Clegg, world record holder in the S12 for the 100 fly. He had a really good Para World Championships, actually, and he will be, no doubt for me, on the podium. And then maybe on the women's side, Tony Shaw. She's very strong 400-meter freestyler. Again, had a very strong World Para Championships as well.
Won her first gold at those Para Championships in Madeira. Obviously... Stephen Clegg will be representing the S12 category, and Tony Shaw will be representing the S9. Slight disappointment for me in this one is the fact that there's no event. That means Scott Quinn can race. He's obviously a massive personality in the para world. We love watching him swim, but just the way it is, even though they are intertwined into the program, there is a reduced program, and that means a reduced opportunity for these para swimmers. A little bit of a shame, because he's great to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's good and bad, really. It's great that they're intertwined with the able-bodied swimmers so that, you know, everyone can watch these guys as well as the able-bodied swimmers, but at the same time, because the schedule would then be absolutely manic.
Be huge.
I mean, that the swimming schedule then would go on for 2 weeks if you do every single event. So yeah, there's pros and cons, but at least they're being represented, I suppose, in the Commonwealth Games, which I think is a definite plus point.
Absolutely. Okay, Dan, so to kind of round up our preview of the Scottish swimming team at this year's Commonwealth Games, this first one's going to be quite easy for you to give. I'm going to want you to give me the star. Who's going to lead this team? Who is going to be the star of this team? And then who's going to be the breakout talent? Because, you know, we like future youngsters and superstars around here.
Well, actually, two easy questions, to be honest with you. The first question is definitely Duncan Scott. Again, like we said before, hopefully COVID hasn't hindered him in any sort of way. But either way, he's going to be the figurehead for the team. He's the one that's going to bring the most medals in, I would have thought. And then the one that I'm looking out for the most is Katie Shanahan. She is just a phenomenon, to be honest with you. I think she's going to do wonders. This will be her breakout meet for me.
Yes, and we haven't mentioned her in the preview because Katie now joins us on the podcast. Hi, Katie, how are you doing?
Hello, yes, very well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on here.
No problem. Thanks for joining us on this Commonwealth preview. So the plan, we're going to talk to you a little bit about commies, a little bit about your development through the junior ranks, breaking through onto the seniors now. And then maybe some of your predictions for the Scottish swimming squad, because you're in and amongst them. Who are the names that we need to keep an eye on? How does that sound to you?
Yeah, sounds really good. Yes.
Great stuff. So the Commonwealth Games, we've spoken to a lot of swimmers in the past, and they say it is the most enjoyable international competition. Mm-hmm. How much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for it. You know, not only the fact that commies only come round every 4 years, but also the fact that it's in Birmingham. It's literally in the UK, like our home country, you know, all our parents, family, friends, everyone's going to be there. And I think that just makes it so much more exciting. You know, I'm really, really excited to just get in racing as well. I think it'll be such a good meet and stuff, especially after the World Champs. You know, a lot of swimmers like Emma McKeon and some others aren't swimming at it to focus on the commies, so I think it's going to be a really fast meet, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you only saw the effects that the crowd had on the swimmers in London 2012. I mean, it's just the atmosphere was incredible. What do you think that will spur you on and the team on to get good results as well?
Yeah, no, I definitely do think it will. You know, obviously we're the four nations are split apart, you know, Scotland, England, Ireland and Wales. But no matter like where we're from, I do think that everyone's going to be behind each other. You know, all the supporters will be cheering on, even if you're from England and you're Scottish. Like, everyone's going to be behind each other. And I think that's really going to make, like, such a difference, you know. Especially the Scots love to support and cheer for one another. So I think in the pool and out the pool, we're going to be able to hear everyone cheering for us and stuff. So I'm really, really looking forward to that side of it.
So growing up and kind of developing your swimming career based in Scotland, has it always been a dream of yours to represent your home nation?
Yeah, I mean, I think for like any sport athlete in Scotland, I think that's like the main dream. You know, Scotland is such a small country, and to be able to compete with them every 4 years, so it is so special that you get that opportunity. It's very, very rare, and many people can't say that they've done it. So, you know, being 17, well, 18 at the commies, I'll be obviously still really young and stuff, and to be able to represent Scotland and wear it on my cap and my T-shirt is really, really exciting. So, yeah.
I guess kind of racing in a Scottish hat only comes around like once every 4 years. You can race for Team GB every summer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's what makes the commies so special as well, because, you know, racing for Team GB is one thing, but racing for Scotland, like your own country, is like something else. You know, it's so special. And to be part of a team with like all Scots, like obviously with GB, there's some English people, there's some Welsh people, there's Scottish people and stuff, but to be like truly just full of Scottish people, I think that'll be so good, because the atmosphere and the vibes and stuff, like in the call room and behind in the prep area and stuff, will be so good. So really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we're buzzing and we're not even competing.
Yeah.
Listen, your results in the past have been amazing, especially at European juniors and seniors and world short course as well. How much have you learnt from those meets to help prepare you for this one and future ones as well?
Yeah, I've learnt so, so much. You know, going into my first European juniors when I was 15 in Kazan in 2019, you know, not really expecting to do anything at all and to come away with a bronze medal, I think that really set up, you know, the learning experiences and the learning opportunities that I was going to have for the rest of my swimming career. And I think just being able to get that one medal there really drove me to make more teams, even if it was junior or senior, and to be part of that British swimming bubble and to have the experience being the British swimming team for my first time, it was really, really special and I really enjoyed it. And then obviously fast forward 2 years to the senior Europeans, being part of that team, the Olympic team, it was really, really good, like so amazing to be part of that team. And obviously it was what, the most successful British team ever, I think, at the Olympics. So to say that I've been part of that at the Europeans, it's something that I'll always take a hold of and always remember and stuff. But I definitely learned a lot from the Europeans, just from watching the likes of Adam Peaty, Duncan Scott, Tom Dean, Frey Anderson, all these big names, and being part of that team. I learned a lot from there, and I think all of those learning experiences really transferred into the European juniors later on that summer in Rome. And I think being at the Europeans almost motivated me so much to swim well at the European juniors. After coming sixth in the final of the 200 back, I really wanted to prove myself again and to show that, you know, I can do it on another stage. And I was very successful at the European juniors, which was very good, and I was really happy with and stuff. And, you know, it is such a difference in the team. Like, the seniors are just, they're very, not serious, but like, there's a big difference between junior, professional, that's the word, compared to like the juniors. Like, the juniors are just so much fun. Like, you're genuinely there just having fun. Like, there's not much pressure. It's almost like a holiday with your friends, like, not literally, but, you know, like, almost like it, and stuff. And, you know, I had so much fun at the European juniors, and to especially have had the results and the outcome that I had, like, I was really, really happy with the way I swam. And I do think that was down to, like, the learning experiences I had at senior Europeans and also the team and European juniors, you know, supporting me and being behind me and stuff, I think that's to thank for why I swam so well.
Yeah, so you heard the introduction we gave you a little bit earlier. What Dan thinks are your chances at commies. Do you feel a sense of expectation as you move forward through your swimming career at all? Because you're still very young in the sport, but there seems like there's a lot of eyes on you already.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really say from other people there was expectations and pressure. So from likes of like my coaches and my family and my friends, I wouldn't say there's any expectation or pressure at all from them, but definitely from myself. Like, I put so much pressure on myself, which probably isn't the best, to be fair, but I do think that, you know, like, this season so far, I've not really had the easiest of seasons and not the best. I've not really swam that well, so I think I'm putting a lot of expectation and pressure on myself to swim well at the commies. Even though I just want to have fun at commies, but I think also inside me I kind of want to prove myself, not to other people, but also to myself, that, you know, I can swim well in this senior stage. And I do believe that my, like, best swims and my best events and my best times always come when I'm on that senior stage, on that international level.
Is it a sense of you need the big occasion to really get yourself up for swimming well?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I certainly rise to the occasion. I think, and I know that a lot of people have told me that as well, that have, you know, swimming at the British Champs and, you know, any Edinburgh International or Scottish meet and stuff, like, that's good to swim there, and I do swim well there sometimes, but I definitely think that I swim my very best when I've got that pressure of being in a international final, you know, with all the best people in the world, like, in lane 4, lane 5 or whatever, and me being in the outside lane. And I think that's when I myself step up to the challenge, and I want to challenge myself, and I want to be the best I can and prove myself to, like, the rest of the world and the rest of my team and stuff, that, you know, I do belong there. And yeah, that definitely does motivate me to swim my best.
I think it's a good trait to have. If you, I mean, putting pressure on yourself can be a negative thing sometimes, but actually it does bring the best out of you. You spoke to Mehdi Harris and she does the same sort of thing. Dan Jervis does exactly the same thing. And by putting this pressure on you, I don't know, you expect more of yourself, but it's not coming from external people. But it's clearly working for you.
Let's talk about the team you're on this summer then. Team Scotland. Who do you think have the best chances of performing or meddling potentially at the Commonwealth Games? Who are you looking forward on Team Scotland?
Honestly, like, everyone, like, genuinely, I think that everyone can do well. Like, I know that sounds like, oh, she's just saying that, but, like, I genuinely do. Like, but to name a few, like, probably Cara Hanlon, I'd say. I think she's a very under-the-radar breaststroker. Like, I do believe that she's going to swim so well, because I know that she puts in so much work, and she has for the past few years. And I definitely think that some people wouldn't even think about her to make a final or to get a medal, but I do think she will do really well.
It's nice you've said that. That lines up with our preview we just did.
Oh, that's good.
We're on the same page. That's good.
Who else? Probably Scott Gibson as well. He's one to look out for. You know, I know that he works really hard and he's had such a good season with his 1500 back row, so it's definitely another one. And obviously Holly McGill, the youngster. Well, I can't really say youngster because I'm a youngster as well, but you know, her being, I think this is her first international meet, and she's only 17, I think. So yeah, I think that'll be some really good learning opportunities for her, and I think she'll really enjoy it, and hopefully she'll swim fast.
Seeing as though there's quite a few younger swimmers there, like you've just said, what, does Scottish swimming have some sort of, like, mentor or partnership, like, you sort of like a buddy system, just to, like, make sure that the younger swimmers look up to the older swimmers? Because we spoke a lot about Ross Murdoch, Craig McNally being the senior figureheads, if you like. Does that happen in the team?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that there was, like, people almost assigned to each other.
Okay.
But I definitely do think that, you know, like, all these big guys who've had experiences that, I mean, I know that Craig McNally's been to 4 Commonwealth Games. Well, this will be his 4th one. So he's definitely, like, someone that I look up to, especially in Team Scotland, because I know that the experience that he has had and stuff. There's also, you know, obviously Ross Murdoch, like you mentioned, and Duncan Scott and Lucy Hope, all these athletes who've had experiences at the Commonwealth Games before, I think they are definitely almost mentors to the younger people, or the people who this is their first international meet or Team Scotland event or whatever. And I think that they can definitely provide not only support but knowledge and enthusiasm and all this to the team. And I do think that it's good that there's a lot of young summers as well on the team. I think that they'll provide that youth that maybe some of the older summers lack. Don't mind to sound cheeky or anything, but yeah, I think it is good having some like fresh set of minds and eyes and stuff, to be able to come into the team and almost bring a new perspective to swimming for like the youngsters and stuff. But no, I do definitely think that everyone in the team is almost a mentor to each other, because like I'm sure that we've all had enough experience and stuff. So yeah, looking forward to just being part of Team Scotland and to be a part of all these big names. Yeah.
And final question, what is your target for Birmingham? What's your goals?
Well, I've not really thought of too many almost, but I definitely think to just have fun and to just enjoy the whole experience. It's my first Commonwealth Games, and to have it at a home nation, I think that's really, really special and really exciting. So I just really want to soak up all the experiences and everything I learn and almost be a sponge in the team, not only around the pool but in the athletes' village and everywhere else, you know, on the buses to and from the pool. I just want to learn as much as I can, because, well, hopefully, here's hoping that I'll have some more Commonwealth Games and there might be, you know, some more opportunities for me in the later Commonwealth Games to, you know, maybe win or get a medal or whatever. But for now, I'm not going to put any pressure on myself for the summer and to just really have fun and enjoy the whole experience. And if I make a final, then amazing. If I get a medal, amazing. But I'm not looking to do these things. I'm just here to have fun. And I think also as well, just swim a lot better than I have swam this season. It's been a bit of a rocky season for me so far. I've suffered from quite a lot of illness and a few injuries before and after trials. And I was a bit disappointed with my swims at trials, and I would love to just be back in form and to prove to myself that I'm back, basically.
Trust the process. I think your coaches know what you're doing. You can't help illness, that's just one of those things, but trust the process. The coaches will know, and fingers crossed it all works out for you. I think like I said, this is your springboard moment. I think this is all just the best of luck. I think you're gonna do it. You're gonna do really well.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie, before we let you go, we do usually finish with some quick fire questions. How do those sound to you?
Oh, they sound exciting. Let's get them.
What is your favourite event?
200 back.
Who is your swimming idol?
Oh, God. This is so bad that I'm having to think about this so long.
It's all right, everyone.
Probably Katinka Hossu. Probably, she's literally the Iron Lady, and she does everything. So her, and she's still going. And
she's a machine. She is a machine, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, she is the Iron Lady.
Yeah. What is your proudest moment in swimming so far?
Probably getting the medals at European Juniors and finishing off my junior international experiences and meets on a high.
Nice. What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Oh, definitely when I was in Japan in 2019 with British Swimming. It was 3 1000s. No, it wasn't. It was 3K straight, and it was done as like 100 easy, 100 fast, and it was IM. And then straight after that, it was 12 200s IM, and it was like, I think it was like 3 easy, 3 fast, 2 easy, 2 fast, 1 easy, 1 fast. And genuinely, like, it was so hard. Like, to be fair, like, all the sets in Japan were so hard, but that one was so bad. Like,
This is that's very similar to Duncan Scott's hardest set when he went to Japan. It sounds like Japan is not the place to go train.
It's not. Don't go.
Yeah, because he said Niamh set as well. Yeah, it was horrible. Similar sort of fashion. Yeah. Oh man. Let's not go to Japan. Yeah.
And our Andy Jameson inspired question: what is your pre-race song?
Oh, can I go on my playlist quickly and check?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, sure.
Finally, a swimmer who actually listens to music before a race.
Oh, yeah. I need to listen. Like, if I don't listen to music, then I will not swim well. Like, I've got two. Either Day and Night, but the remix version of it by Kid Cudi.
Banging, yep.
Or... Glue by Bicep. I love that. That just gets it going.
Nice.
And final question: if you were to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrities, pets. Who would you take with you?
Oh, good question. My mum, for one. Yes. Kris Jenner. She's a queen, whopper. And probably Tom Holland.
Nice. Spider-Man's
back
in the car.
To Tom Holland, yes.
Yeah, like it.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on to our Commonwealth Games preview for Team Scotland. It's been really great talking to you and kind of previewing your own hopes this summer as well as your journey so far. It's been really fun, and best of luck in Birmingham.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, next week we're going to be previewing the what we think medal chances are for pretty much every race. I know you're going for enjoyment, but we will talk next week about your medal chances, Casey. So you might want to avoid that.
So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming podcast. The next podcast will be up in just a few days' time as we preview Team Wales. Very busy week, as we said. Keep up, and we will catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.